Amen. We appreciate that special song. Well, it's a privilege tonight to be able to come and preach to Brother Jeff Bannister's crowd since he was announced all week on the radio. And Brother Al announced him last week. I've got one on Al. Brother Al was saying last Lord's Day that there would be a good Southerner preaching in the morning and a good Yankee preaching at night. And I'm afraid there wouldn't be a good Southerner or a good Yankee because I was supposed to be the Southerner, but I don't think I'm too good a Southerner because my ancestors fought for the North. And Brother Bannister is the one who proudly wears the Confederate cap because one of his ancestors was killed while defending Petersburg, Virginia, and he proudly has the family Bible telling about his ancestor being cut down by a Yankee bullet. But we're happy to be here tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless us all together around His Word. Before we begin reading the Word, let's all bow before the Lord in prayer together. Let's all pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can come to Thee in time of need. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us the invitation to come. And Lord, we make bold to come because of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His precious blood. We thank Thee, even as we've heard just now, that we have cause to sing. We have cause to praise. And we have cause to pray because of what Thou hast done. And Lord, we would draw nigh to Thee tonight. We pray that Thou wilt give us the grace to draw nigh to Thee. And Lord, we pray Thee to draw very near to us. We need Thee. Lord, above all else, we need to know the voice of God speaking to us. We pray that Thou wilt give us grace. We may go beyond a voice of a man. We pray that Thou wilt do a work in our hearts tonight. Pray that Thou wilt refresh Thy people with a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt, in mercy, visit those in this gathering who know not Christ this evening. Father, we pray that Thou wilt minister to us by the Holy Spirit. We pray that Thou wilt bless us here, but Lord, bless also wherever Thy name is being exalted. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word that has gone forth already in many places today. We pray that Thou wilt make this year a year of jubilee. We pray that there might be a great turning back to Thee. Thou art able to effect this turning back. Thou art able to work tonight as we need to be wrought upon. We pray that Thou wilt give us the Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, we pray that Christ would be exalted. We pray in His name. Amen. We're reading the Scriptures tonight from Leviticus chapter 3. A few verses at the beginning of the chapter. And then we'll also look at chapter 7. Just a very few verses there. In Leviticus chapter 3, and then in Leviticus chapter 7. Beginning with the first verse in Leviticus 3. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it
at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now over in chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering, leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Amen. We'll end our reading there with verse 15. Trust that the Lord will open His Word to us tonight for Jesus' sake. This particular message that the Lord has laid on my heart is one that I shared just almost a year ago down in Alabama with our sister Kathy Simmons and brother Mike Simmons when our sister came to the Lord. But recently, Brother Cairns was preaching, and the message that I'd preached before, I could then see it from this passage of Scripture. It's interesting to listen to Brother Cairns preach because he's certainly a preacher's preacher, even when he may not be intending to give you some suggestions for sermons. They just flow out as though they were coming out of a fountain of wisdom. I know the Lord is using our brother, and I'm thankful for this. But if you were listening carefully to Brother Cairns the last few weeks before he went to Northern Ireland, you should be able to pick up this outline. But I trust that the Lord will bless it to us. And if you don't remember, then maybe this will be an encouragement to listen a little better as Brother Cairns preaches. Now, if you've ever read in the book of Leviticus, you've probably been amazed at the many different types of sacrifices and offerings that are made unto the Lord in the old times. Now, many are the details that are given in these scriptures concerning these sacrifices and offerings. And after reading a few of these chapters in Leviticus, you may start to get a little bogged down. You may begin to ask, well, why all of these regulations about animal sacrifices? Every word of the Lord is pure. Every word is precious. There is nothing superfluous here. There is nothing that's just thrown in by the Holy Spirit to fill out the page. Everything here speaks of Jesus Christ. And I want us to see tonight, as we notice some of these things concerning the peace offering, that they are simply signposts pointing ahead down the road to the Lamb of God that would come and give Himself a sacrifice for sin. And we read in the New Testament that Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. But I believe it can also be said of these peace offerings that they are the Lord Jesus Christ being pictured for us. For He is our peace, we are told in the New Testament. He offered Himself without spot to God. He came into the world, as so many think of this time of year. He came and was born in a stable, born in a manger. He was born in order that He might go to the cross and give Himself to take away our sin, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And you know, it's not an accident that Christ was born in a stable. For from that stable, He was taken. And years later, He was led to the old rugged cross to be sacrificed as our peace offering to God. And from many an ancient Jewish stable, lambs were led to the place of sacrifice. And there, their blood was spilt so that others might not have to die. I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of an ancient Israelite. I want us to go through this ritual of the peace offering. Go through this and see, as I believe the Scripture bears out, that these people who were anointed by the Holy Spirit could see. You know, it's interesting that sometimes people say, well, these Jews in the Old Testament, they didn't see like we see today. Why, think about how much revelation we have today. Well, that's true. We have the complete revelation of God in our hands. But did you ever think how many are the multitudes of people, in spite of the fact that they hold and own copies of this revelation, they know nothing of the truth of the gospel? And to look back into the Old Testament and say these people didn't know very much is really, I believe, dishonest. Because these people, many of them, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. They look to the Messiah who was coming. They trusted Him. They did not have their faith in the blood of bulls and goats. They had their faith in the One who was to come. I want us to consider how an Israelite would get up early in the morning. The man would go out and take his sheep and slowly lead that sheep to the place of sacrifice. When he got to the door of the house of God, whether at that time the tabernacle or later on in the temple, when he got to the door, he put his hand on the head of that little lamb. You know, that's something. To put the hand on the head. To take his own hand and put it on the head of that victim. That man was saying, I am a guilty sinner. I have sinned. I am bringing an offering to God. I deserve to die. But here, I, as a guilty sinner, place my hand. I transfer, as it were, my guilt onto the head of this little innocent victim. And I do not have to die today because another innocent one is dying in my place. After putting his hand on the head of that animal, he himself would take the knife and cut the throat of that poor little lamb. And then he would catch it in the basin. He would take the basin of blood and hand it over to the priest. The priest would then take the blood and dip the little hyssop plant into it and sprinkle it round about upon the altar, upon the wood of the altar. And he would take a knife, the priest would, and cut the little lamb into portions and take part of it and put it on the fire. Now let's go to our scripture reading here in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 5. We read, the priest Aaron's sons would take and burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now the priest, when he cut it up, would take only portions of that animal and put it on the fire, put it on the wood, and then light the fire to it. And it was consumed. It was taken up in smoke. It was burned. And the Scripture says, it went up as a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever smelled burning hair or burning flesh, but it's not a pleasant smell. It's a stinking smell. It's a horrible odor to have to bear. But the Bible says that it went up as a sweet savor unto the Lord. Why does it say that? It says that over in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, when Noah and his family came out of the ark, there was a sweet smell entering into the nostrils of God, as it were. And the actual language in Genesis chapter 9, this sweet savor was a savor of rest. That's interesting. A savor of rest. Because God is furious. God is fierce in His wrath and His anger against sin. And let me say what the Word of God says tonight. God is angry with the wicked every day. We hear some of the truth when we read John 3:16, that God so loved the world. But there's also the other side of the coin where the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And let me say that if you are without Christ in this meeting tonight, whether you are old or young, whoever you are, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not washed in the blood, then God is angry with you even today. Psalm 7 and verse 12, I believe it is. There the Lord says He is angry with the wicked every day. Now, this sweet savor entered into the nostrils of God. And the one who in His holy zeal against sin is quieted, he's put to rest when he sees the victim being consumed. It is only when the victim is consumed by the fire that our God, who is a consuming fire, burning in wrath and anger against sin, is pacified, is satisfied, is propitiated. And that's why the Scripture says, a sweet savor unto the Lord. It was sweet in that it satisfied the Lord. The Lord received His portion of the sacrifice as it went up in a burning holocaust up to God. We read in the New Testament, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That is, Christ satisfied by His sacrifice. When Jesus, the Lamb of God, was taken on the cross, and in those hours of darkness, as the fire of God's wrath came down on Christ, Christ consumed the wrath of God. The Lord was satisfied with the sacrifice made for sinners, so that even as when that lamb was killed, the man who offered it did not have to be put to death. So all those who trust in Jesus Christ's blood, in His finished work, will neither have to die for their sin. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Consider that. It was a sweet savor to God, but it was a stench in the nostrils of mankind. The Jewish people, as the camp was constantly clouded with the smoke of sacrifice, what an awful thing it was. You know, to many, to think of Jesus Christ's blood being shed on the cross, it's a thing that would make them draw back and turn away. No, I don't want to think about the fact that Christ's blood was shed. Now, it's not a pretty thing to think about. And yet, when the Holy Spirit causes you to see Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, as your lamb, then that which is so odious. That which would cause you to draw back then becomes beautiful. And you can say that I am no longer like those in the world who see no beauty in Him. But now I see beauty in Christ. For He has died so that I'll not have to die. We see that the Lord had His portion. As the sacrifice was consumed, the part of it that went up to God, He was propitiated. That means He was satisfied. His anger was quieted toward the sinner. Let's notice in chapter 7 now, in verse 14. Not only did God in heaven have His portion of the sacrifice, but notice the priest also had his portion. Chapter 7 of Leviticus and verse 14. And of it He shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. Part of this animal's body was taken and waved before the Lord by the priest. And then that same priest was able to take that and cook it and eat it for himself. He received his nourishment by it. He was satisfied by the same sacrifice that had satisfied God in heaven. Who is the priest? Our great high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven. Do you know, even now, as Jesus looks back and reflects upon the work that He did on the cross, He's satisfied as He remembers those awful hours of agony and woe as He drank the cup of God's wrath dry for His people. The Lord Jesus Christ is satisfied when He remembers. Would you look at Isaiah chapter 53 for a moment? Isaiah chapter 53 speaks of the satisfaction of the one who suffered. And that is our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Then look down in verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, that is God, hath put him, Christ, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When, as a sinner, by faith, you look to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made once and for all on the cross, when you receive His offering as your offering, when you, by faith, make His soul an offering for your sin, then what does it say? He shall see his seed. We are his spiritual seed who trust in Him. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It gives Christ pleasure as he is seated at God's right hand for poor, unworthy sinners to come repenting and trusting him. It pleases him. And it goes beyond that in verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul all of those hours of agony. He sees of them and shall be satisfied. What satisfies Jesus? His portion of the sacrifice which he made is that of seeing unworthy sinners turn to him and trust only in his shed blood for salvation. This is the priest's portion. And let's notice in the last place, there's not only a portion for the Lord God in heaven and for the priest who pictures Jesus Christ, but in this particular offering, in the peace offering, there's a portion of it taken and given to the man who brought it to offer it. The man who is guilty, the sinner, enjoys a portion. In chapter 7 again of Leviticus,
chapter 7 of Leviticus and verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. He, this is the individual who sinned. Verse 12, if he offer it. And then again in verse 12, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then notice in verse 13, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering. And then down at the end of verse 13, the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. Notice the personal pronoun that's repeated here over and over again. It is not by accident that this personal pronoun is given so many times. Verse 14, and he shall offer one out of the whole oblation. All right, in verse 15, and of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Then in verse 15 at the end, he shall not leave any of it until the morning. Verse 16, but of the sacrifice of his offering. Also in verse 16, the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. We could go on and on. Why is the personal pronoun concerning the man who brought the sacrifice repeated so much over and over again? Because this is what's left in the gospel message. When Christ died on the cross, the Father was satisfied. He was propitiated. His anger was put away by the sweet-smelling savor of that sacrifice of Christ. And Christ is in heaven now. And when He sees sinners trusting Him, those of us who are already trusting Him, that satisfies Him. When He looks around upon the redeemed multitudes in glory, He is satisfied. And yet, when sinners come in this gospel day and turn to Him, that brings them satisfaction. All of these personal pronouns are mentioned here because what is left is for the sinner to be satisfied with Christ. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is not so much that I can do with my hands. It is not what I can do by being a member of a local church. It is not what I can do by taking communion. It is not what I can do by preaching, by teaching others, by witnessing, by giving out tracts, by being baptized, by seeking to follow the Ten Commandments, by trying to live a righteous life. If you do all those things without Christ, then you'll never enter heaven. You'll never enter into the bliss of glory above. Only by trusting Christ, only by saying as this man, I am going to take of this victim, this sacrifice that I brought, and I'm going to eat it. I'm going to myself partake of it. I'm going to take it in, receive it into myself, and I'm going to live on this one. I am going to feed on this one. I'm going to be sustained and nourished and saved by this one. Let me ask you, have you done that? Have you come to the place where you have taken Christ? Have you received Him? Have you taken of His sacrifice and said, this is for me. Christ died for my sin. Is Christ your Christ? Are you satisfied with Him? You know, you can go away from here tonight after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done, and you can still be trying. You can still agonize and seek to please God by the filthy works that you can perform with your hands, by the kind of living that you may presume to do, but only by being satisfied with what Christ has done can you be saved. It is taking Him by faith. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 31. We read of what the Lord says concerning those people who trust in Him. Isaiah 31 and verse 14. He speaks of the priests here, and He also speaks of the people. Jeremiah 31 and verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. I'll satisfy them. But notice what else he says. And my people. Oh, what a blessing to be called one of God's people. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Let me ask you, can you say this as your testimony, that I am satisfied with the goodness, with the grace, with the righteousness, with the blood shedding, with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? If you can, then count yourself blessed indeed, because so few see the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is not what I do, but it's what Christ has already done. Let me encourage you tonight to trust Him, to cast yourself upon Him. And if you have never tasted, if you have never partaken, if you have never eaten to the satisfaction of your soul, if you have never assimilated by faith, taken in, appropriated to yourself Jesus Christ, then by faith tonight, receive Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that the gospel is before us. We thank Thee that the word of the gospel is this book. And Lord, we thank Thee that we don't have to try to get up, ascend up into heaven in order to bring the gospel down. But we thank Thee that the gospel has already come. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for coming, for agonizing for us, for bleeding for us, for dying, for rising. Oh, we thank Thee for living. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak with the voice that wakes the dead. Oh, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak the word of life to some poor lost soul in this gathering. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause Thy people to see the Lord Jesus Christ as our sacrifice. Lord, satisfy us more and more with the Savior. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou wilt fill us with Christ. And may we in this year be satisfied more and more with Jesus Himself. We pray in His name. Amen. Let me say this, that if you need any help concerning the things of God, if you're concerned about your soul, then I'd be more than happy to take the Word of God and point you to the Savior. God bless you.